Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Two Sticks Podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to the TwoSticks.com podcast, the official podcast of TwoSticks.com, trapped inside the Asian mind. As always, I'm one of the co-hosts, Mike Cho, and we are joined once again by June Park.
Hello.
And Garrett Chan.
Yo.
And today we have a special guest, a person who might be a regular, Mr. Ryan Koh, Esquire.
Hi there. Nice to be here today.
And if this is your first time listening to us, welcome. And if you have listened to us before, the inappropriate comment of the week is 6-0, we just gave the Chargers the Cleveland Steamer with the reverse teabag.
I'm afraid to look at what a Cleveland Steamer is on UrbanDictionary.com.
I think it meant it would require a lot of flexibility there, actually, to do both.
No, I don't think so. I think that you could do it by squatting above Philip Rivers' chest, shitting on his chest, and then dragging your nutsack across his face as you dismount.
All right.
Wow.
I'm impressed.
Keeping it real.
Hey, it's hard being a Broncos fan in Chicago.
Hey, try being a Seahawks fan in Seattle.
You know what? Things haven't been the same since you guys left the AFC West.
So true.
And sports talk is probably making June fall asleep.
Once again.
Sorry about that. So, how was everybody's weekend?
It was good. Yeah.
Good. Okay, well, don't everybody else chime in at once, regulars.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing special.
You know,
okay. Well, so since this is Mr. Koh's first time on the Two Sticks podcast, we're going to make you go through the tradition of telling all of our lovely listeners a little bit about yourself and how you stumbled upon Two Sticks and your most memorable Two Sticks moment.
Okay, well, I am living in Seattle. I am an attorney, but I started off as a programmer and just went to law school recently and just graduated. Mainly doing bankruptcy and civil litigation right now. What else? I'm married. I have a kid. A little girl who's almost two. Anything else you want to know about me? Yeah,
how did you find Two Sticks?
Oh, right. Actually, Garrett and I used to live in the same apartment complex. And before that, people would always say, well, where's Garrett at? Because he's in his room. And then you're like, oh, they're probably he's on that message board again. And I'm assuming that was either 2-6 or, like, Asian Avenue, but I think it's 2-6. Anyway, so while we lived in that apartment complex, there was another girl named Coralie who used to write articles for 2-6. And she wrote an article about something we did every Tuesday called our apartment dinner. And she told me about it, so I went on to Two Sticks and I read it, and I just kind of ended up staying.
Okay, nice. And what is your fondest Two Sticks memory so far?
I kind of think of ones I can share. No,
I don't want to hear about any shared pictures, because there's a lot of them out there. And we
there
don't...
are.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I have a fondest memory. I think I used to like there used to be like some MSN paint competitions people used to do. I thought those were pretty fun.
Oh, yes, with Ultra Kim.
Yeah, his were a little over the top sometimes, but, you know, every once in a while they were pretty funny.
You know what's funny is Ultra Kim is house.
He kind of is. I don't imagine him as hairy. Or with a limp, but yeah, I
mean,
see that.
That's what he does for a living. I mean,
yeah.
He's house.
Huh. That's true. Maybe you need that kind of personality to be house.
A rampaging pervert.
An asshole.
One man's asshole is another man's
hero.
Korean.
Vagina? I was gonna say vagina. What?
Right. Anyways.
Ass, it's the other vagina. Okay, moving on. Two disturbing things in 5 minutes. So let's go around and let's talk about what we love this week, things you want to share with our Two Sticks audience that you enjoyed this week and you feel like spreading your love around, much like a Mormon with Viagra.
My boss is Mormon. I'll remember that next time I see him.
Gotta get past his magic underwear first.
Wow.
Okay, I'll start. One of the things I've loved this past week is I've been watching a lot of the old movies that I haven't seen in a while with my daughter. So, like, I watched Mary Poppins the other day. I've watched a few Disney movies I haven't seen in a while. And when you watch them as an adult, there's actually a bunch of things that you kind of don't pick up on that you didn't – I mean, that you pick up now that you didn't pick up on when you were a kid.
You have an example?
Like, I was watching Mary Poppins, and, like, the whole interplay between her and Bert, the
chimney sweeper?
Whatever, the chimney sweeper guy. I mean, there's this one song where he's, like, singing and talking about how lovely she is and how just basically he's adoring her. And she comes back with, "Oh, Bert, you're so nice. You're, like, the kindest person ever. You would ever take advantage of me. I feel safe with you."
Friend zone!
I know. So I'm like, oh, wow. Totally didn't catch that the first time around.
That's the song with that's the song with the penguins, yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, what's your daughter's reaction to some of these movies? She's pretty funny. I'm wondering what she says when she sees
She's pretty verbal. I think the thing that she does is later she'll bring it up at a random time. Like if she sees something that reminds her of the movie, she'll start talking about the movie all of a sudden. And so,
she's two and she talks.
Yes,
wow.
She's pretty verbal.
Genius
actually
baby.
Speaks in full sentences now. So, wow.
Is she closer to three?
No, she's only 22 months.
That's crazy, because my friend's daughter just turned two, and she doesn't say much.
Yeah, I think my daughter's pretty talkative.
Maybe your friend's daughter has autism.
Maybe she's retarded. Maybe she's retarded.
Oh, sad.
What if she really was?
You don't have to deal with it, Garrett. You don't teach the special kids.
Yeah, I do.
Every kid.
Oh, really?
You never heard of the IEP or a 504 plan for inclusion.
Do you teach the rword.org kids?
I don't have the kids that are so severe that
they need circle paper.
They need straitjackets. But I teach a lot of kids that are borderline to unfunctional. Mm. At the
okay.
But yeah, Ryan's got some pretty funny videos. Maybe if you're nice, he'll share them with you, but I won't share them on this
podcast. Of my kid. To clarify,
yeah. Videos of his kid talking about, like, funny things or singing songs. It's good stuff. It's happy, happy stuff.
Yeah.
Anybody else have any loves?
My love just happened today. I was telling Mike before we started recording that SoCal does not, or California, I don't think, has any Dunkin' Donuts. And yet they play commercials for Dunkin' Donuts all the time. And coming from the East Coast, Dunkin' Donuts was like, you know, a pretty regular part of my routine just to get coffee or a bagel or a donut. And it kind of makes me sad every time I see a commercial. And today one of my friends had Dunkin' Donuts at his work. I think they had them specially delivered, so he brought one for me, and that was kind of cool. Yeah.
How do you get them delivered?
I have no idea.
That's amazing.
Yeah, he works at a casino. Maybe they have special powers.
They fly in the Dunkin' Donut.
I don't know.
Like a casino in Vegas?
Oh no, he works at a casino here in California.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it was kind of sweet because it was like the first bite of Dunkin' Donuts that I've had in like 7 years.
Oh. Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting. It reminds me how we see commercials for Sonic all the time up here in Washington State, and there's not really that many. I think there's like one way, way south coast of Oregon and one way, way maybe east.
There's not many here either, but we see commercials all the time. You have to drive quite a bit to get to one, but yeah.
Nice.
I don't see any commercials out here for shit that doesn't exist out here. So, I don't know if that's how the Midwest does it. Like, they don't want to, like, overinflate the aspirational fantasies of the folks out here that are, you know, maybe a little bit more simple-minded than the folks on the coast. But, yeah, I guess we keeps it real, real simple. And folksy and charming. Yeah. Midwest. Nice.
Wonderful.
Anyone else have any loves, Mr. Chan?
I'm really loving my squash soup. We made it this weekend for the first time. I know June can get into this because she's a cook. But
what kind of squash?
It's a butternut apple squash soup. Mm. And we got the recipe out of this soup book that I forgot where we got it from. Maybe it was a wedding present. We had a lot of cookbooks for wedding presents, but some of them we've yet to, you know, open up and try all the recipes. So I'm pretty proud of it just because it's been a while since I've even actually cut a squash. And I was like cutting it this past week and I was like, man, this thing's freaking a lot of work. So cutting like it was pretty hard to cut. Like, you know, I was like watching TV, I think football, and my wife was in the kitchen. I hear this like ka-chunk, ka-chunk, ka-chunk. And then she's like, Garrett, can you come in here and help me cut the squash? And I'm like, what's wrong? It's just like, you know, squash, like, what's so bad about cutting it?
Yeah.
And I started, you know, cutting it, and then I'm like, wait, I'm starting to sweat here. This is actually a lot of work. I don't know if it's damn squash.
Butternut squash is really hard to cut.
Yeah, I was busting the Chinese cleaver on it, too.
It's hard to peel.
Yeah, so, like, cutting off the rinds. Though later someone gave me some advice. They said I should, like, half boil it.
Yeah.
And then just take the rinds off that way. But
that's
then
so
I was
work.
Like, yeah. Yeah. It's just better just to, because part of the recipe after you cut it and you boil it to soften it is you blend it, right? So it's like you're adding extra step if you, you know, soft boil it to take off the rinds.
Yeah.
So, whatever. I just, more knife skill practice chopping those rinds off. But I like my butternut squash soup with apple and bacon and chicken. That goes on top. It's an accoutrement. What about you, Mike? What are you loving?
Well, I'm apparently loving the fact that I'm a single bachelor that's on a restricted, like, 1,100 calorie a day diet that can't enjoy any of these things, such as precocious daughters or soup with bacon or
donuts.
Overtime.
Donuts. Squash is healthy. Just take out the bacon.
Fuck you all.
So what do you eat on an 1,100 calorie diet?
Let's see. In the morning, I have a egg white omelet with fat-free feta cheese that weighs approximately 8 ounces.
That sounds good.
Then for my midday snack, I have two of those little Baby Bell fat-free cheese things.
Right.
For lunch, I have a herb salad with fat-free balsamic vinaigrette. And for lunch, I have a protein shake or two bananas. And for dinner, I have a stir fry.
That sounds pretty good.
That's not, like, horrible.
Yeah.
And
it's not like you're living like a monk.
And I repeat this for 90 days.
Okay, I can see where it gets rough after about a month.
When did you start?
I started again last week.
Oh, so you're going to be doing this through Thanksgiving?
Yep.
And Christmas?
Yep.
Brave.
That's the hardest.
Not really. I mean, like, I don't like Thanksgiving or Christmas, so
what?
It doesn't matter.
We'll get to that later.
You're dead inside.
No, I still like Harry Potter. No, actually,
inside.
If I had a love this week, besides that special person in my life, it would have to be my PlayStation 3. That's what I mean. It would have to be Uncharted 2 for the PlayStation 3. What an awesome game! It's a reason to own a PlayStation 3.
Nice.
And that makes me just sound so much more shallow.
It's cool.
Not really.
Yeah.
You know,
I tell my wife all the time that's why guys love their video games.
I mean, whoever...
A video game will never nag you. Will never leave you.
Whoever
break you,
said, whoever said money can't buy happiness obviously didn't have a PS3.
Yeah, I mean, like, the only, yeah, my life is empty.
So what's so impressive about...
What?
What's so impressive about Uncharted?
It plays like a movie. It plays like a 8-hour-long Indiana Jones movie. A good Indiana Jones movie.
Okay. So are we talking Raiders of the Last Ark, or...
We're talking...
Last Crusade.
No, Last Crusade is horrible. Like, yeah, Raiders
are
Temple of Doom.
Temple of Doom?
Yeah, Raiders are Temple of Doom.
I mean,
there's love triangles, there's betrayal, there's...
Little Asian sidekick?
No, there's a big Asian sidekick. He's from Nepal.
Uh-huh.
Shooting people with guns?
Yes, shooting a lot of people with guns. I mean, there's some very, like, very cinematic moments to this game. Like, this is one part where you're in a, a village up in the Himalayas where everyone speaks Nepalese and no one, like, Tibetan, whatever, one of those countries with brown people that live at high altitude.
Sherpas?
Yeah, he's a Sherpa, but like, there's no subtitles, so you have no idea what the hell he's saying. And,
is this authentic? Or
yeah.
Is he just speaking gibberish?
Gibberish? No, it's authentic. And, I mean, they used a lot of photorealistic imagery in it, and it's very, like, simple, beautiful gameplay. I mean, it's all in the details. The devil's in the details in this game. So it's definitely, if you own a PS3, you should get it. And if you need an excuse to get a PS3, this is definitely the game to get. Outside of that, my loves are also for my two football teams, and that's it. God, I live such a sad, lonely life. Anyway.
The more you talk about being lonely, the more lonely it seems.
It's not
well,
that bad. It's really not that bad, Mike. My love this week was a donut. Okay.
It wasn't Jeff, the Ken outfit.
No. I'm trying to repress that memory ever since you guys dug it back up last week.
Speaking of which, do you think it's a good idea for me to convince somebody to dress up as Tila Tequila and I dress up as Sean Merriman for Halloween?
What?
How do you dress up as Sean Merriman?
I don't know. Put on one of those muscle suits, get a Chargers jersey, and
Chargers jersey, yeah.
Stick a syringe in my forearm or something, and beat the Asian girl allegedly all night.
How do you beat her allegedly?
I don't know. That's the tricky part of the costume, I suppose.
Is that a euphemism for something else?
I don't know. Doesn't matter. I'm going to be single on Halloween anyway.
Yeah, I can't see Joe dressing up as Tila Tequila. It wouldn't be very convincing.
No. God.
Sorry, Joe.
We sound so much more gay when other people say it than when, like, I say it. Anyway, let's move on to the news. Because the news is happy.
Word him up.
I have two news items today. First one is a police officer at Northwestern University has filed federal complaint against the university that alleges a pattern of racial harassment by his white peers and supervisors. Freddie Lee, who is Chinese-American, says that he has been a target of verbal slurs since 2006. The complaint lists verbal discrimination by his coworkers, including a recently promoted sergeant, who continually referred to the Chinese by a derogatory slur.
Chink. Slope.
Chinaman.
Chinaman.
Coolie.
Slantback, superhead.
Slantback is new. A female officer who repeatedly said Ching Chong to him, and a male officer who would call him Fukudome Lee.
Fukudome.
For Japanese player for the Chicago Cubs. Lee says he reported the harassment claims to the Human Resources Department in 2008, but no progress has come from it. So basically, a spokesman from Northwestern University said there was absolutely no merit in the complaint, and Lee has been placed on administrative leave and given orders to stay off campus and will enter mediation with the university. Of course, Asian American students are the largest minority group on campus at Northwestern.
Hmm.
Just to show it is a private school. The Harvard of the Midwest, apparently.
Harvard of the Midwest.
I know, that's so stupid.
That's a good analogy.
I mean, that's what people call it.
Yeah.
Or University of Chicago, kind of, I don't know what. They're both rich, uppity schools. State school rocks. It's cost effective.
Why doesn't he just call his white colleagues derogatory terms?
You know, because white people don't have that many good terms. We have honky,
round
and
eye,
cracker, and Mr. Charlie. Anilla never took off the way it was supposed to.
Hmm.
So, yeah, that's all we have.
I call my white friends round eye.
Oh, that's a great one.
They love it.
What a round eye. Yeah. Too bad it's never been used under, like, some forcible oppression of white people. But that might change after they watch the new Red Dawn. I'll laugh my ass off if all the Chinese soldiers call the white people round eye. Round eye, get you to the camp!
I am very torn about that movie.
I didn't know they're making a new one.
Yeah.
It's going to be racist and it's probably going to suck ass. But you know what? Everyone will still go see it.
You know, I don't necessarily have a problem with with Chinese communists painted as evil people. Does that make me a self-hater? I just don't.
Yeah, but you know,
I just really have no love for mainland China's. And well, okay, I take that back. I don't have love for Chinese communism.
Yeah, the government does itself. Chinese communists as an army. I'm not like a big fan of, but you know, the movie will not differentiate. It'll pretty much just be xenophobic, crazy stuff. I don't know if you guys already seen the pictures posted on, like...
Yeah, I guess the thing that I really care about is it's still going to be set in Colorado.
I think so, probably.
Okay, good, because if it's not, I want nothing to do with the movie, because I do have a Calumet High School Wolverines athletic department t-shirt.
The original is a cult classic.
Yes, it is.
So that's why this remake is probably going to be racist and suck ass.
Well, the last one was semi... No, it wasn't really all that racist, come to think of it.
Well, it had the Cuban soldiers. I don't know if that was racist or not, though.
Yeah, no, they weren't, because they were kind of in charge. Like, who's going to talk smack to them?
That's true.
Yeah.
True.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Okay, you're too young. Anyway, my next...
it's like, what is this movie?
Red Dawn is a movie that came out during the height of the Cold War. Basically, the premise was Cubans hooked up with the Mexicans and invaded America along with the Soviets. And a ragtag group of Colorado high school students led by Patrick Swayze and Charlie Sheen.
To the mountains!
Yes, where they rescue Jennifer Grey and Leah Thompson. And hook up with grizzled Air Force veteran Howard Booth and wage guerrilla war against the Soviet / Cubans.
Kill the commie bastard.
Yeah.
Actually,
horrible.
You know what? I think this new one, supposedly they replaced the Cubans with Mexicans. So they get to fill the movie with not only evil Asians, but evil Mexicans. It's like a white person's fantasy come true.
Or nightmare, yeah.
Well, June, it looks like it's time for us to head down to the Korean American Museum and pick up those I am Korean, not Chinese or not Japanese buttons that we used to wear during World War II.
They have those?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they had those.
They have those.
Because, I mean, if an angry group of white guys back during the 40s was going to crack your head with a skull, if you had a button that said that you were not Japanese...
That would stop them. They would stop and read it.
Well, no. Time magazine came out with that helpful article on how to tell apart Chinese, Korean, and Japanese people, so the Chinese and Koreans wouldn't get beat on. America,
right, friendly Asians versus the evil Asians. That's actually at the exhibit at the Wing Luke Museum that I helped to.
Yeah.
Anyways, the link I put up there is pretty funny.
Okay. Next. Anyway. Item of news is actually not good. In Annville, Pennsylvania, a Lebanon Valley College sophomore admits that he exposed himself to women and girls as young as 12, according to the police. 19-year-old Mike Vaux was charged Wednesday with 4 counts of open lewdness and 4 counts of indecent exposure. I think
really
the only
for Mike too.
No, Mike Vaux. His tragically, his Vietnamese name is Hung.
Yeah. Hung Vaux.
Yeah.
Mike Hung Vaux. Wow.
Yeah. So,
but you know what? That's not as bad as being arrested for exposing yourself.
That's what he did.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, your name is your name, but it's worse to be arrested.
Yeah.
And have that name.
He looks like a hipster skater kid. I don't know. Or maybe all Asian kids are looking this unkempt nowadays. I don't know.
Maybe he wasn't really exposing himself. Maybe his pants were just too tight.
Just wearing really skinny jeans.
Yeah.
His junk was just hanging out.
Yeah, he was just sitting along the side of a jogging trail masturbating to women that were walking by. There's nothing wrong with that.
Hmm.
Could be worse. He could have killed a bunch of kids. I mean, as far as Asian crimes go, this is pretty mild.
Yeah, except for the 12-year-old part.
Yeah.
Wrong.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, white folk. White folk, they look older when they're 12.
Oh, man. Oh, no.
Okay. We're going to take a small break, and then we'll come back. We're going to talk about family.
Family.
Because you gave me such an awesome segue there, Ryan. Thank you. Okay, we'll see you after the jump.
Yeezy, Neo, the remix, Ayo, I think it's time to hit him with the mace flow. My, she was getting the best of me, but ooh, child, you're my destiny. And I know it's especially hard with all these girls that's testing me. And you gon' question me, if she even stand next to me. But you should laugh, cause you my better half, and these girls just fighting over the rest of me. Right now it feels so crazy, I know she just some lady, and my outfit is just so 80s, not to mention I'm a clamor Mercedes, and the 26-inch it looks so good with your 6-inch heels. Fly that you be on, Gucci on, Lanvin, Louis Vuitton. Now we high as the way that we cruising on, high like I like Mercury. Why do I mention the solar system? Cause you in my soul and system, and we're gonna take it home with this one. I got something that you gon' lie, you got something that I can't find. We got something
and
that we both gon' ride.
And just true, baby, you my addiction. I'm so strung out on you, I can barely move, but I like it. And it's all because of you. And it's all because of you. And it's all because of you. And it's all because never get enough. She's the sweetest star.
from our little brief foray into exposing ourselves to minors, or one dude exposing himself to minors. And
Grace.
I think it was just a lapse in judgment. And pants. Anyway, today's topic is family. I know for Asian people, family is the king. But definitely amongst the guests we have today, we're definitely in different stages of family life. Ryan is married and has a family. Garrett is married but has no kids. And on behalf of parents, when are you going to get started on that?
Sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
But that's all I'm going to say about that.
June is in a, I'm assuming, committed relationship and childless. And June, on behalf of your parents, if you don't use the baby factory, it will stop working. And
oh my god.
Myself, I am single, and as a male, I have the ability to impregnate women well into my 70s.
Hopefully, it won't take that long to find a suitable
baby factory
host for progeny.
I'm about done with all this bullshit, to be perfectly honest with you, starting a family, but I'm going to make one last effort for all. Anyway, let's go around and talk about the families that you came from. Would you say that your family was pretty typically Asian American or typically Chinese American or Korean American? Or?
Sorry, we only have Chinese Korean people up in here this week.
We don't know any Japanese people that we want on the podcast.
Oh,
but we do know Japanese people.
Yeah. Well, no, Two Sticks doesn't have a lot of Japanese regulars.
Right.
That's true. Anyways.
Not ones that aren't Don Cons.
Oh.
God. I was waiting for
anger.
That.
Anger. Family.
Family. Ohana.
Ohana. Ooh. Ohana means family. I'll say I consider my family pretty normal, as normal as normal could be. I mean, it was me growing up, my younger sister, and my mom and my dad. And of course, I guess in a Chinese household, especially one that's like, you know, kind of conservative and Christian, the only holidays that matter are the Christian ones, which are basically Easter and Christmas. I mean, we'd celebrate Thanksgiving, but then I remember as a kid, like, you know, we wouldn't always have turkey. Because, you know, Chinese people don't always like to eat turkey. It'd be like, you know, an approximation. Maybe it'd be fried chicken instead of turkey.
Oh, duck.
Ooh, yes, or duck. Duck. Or sometimes not even eating at home. I mean, going out to eat at a Chinese restaurant, because Chinese restaurants would always be open. No matter what.
On Christmas, it's just Asians and Jews. It is. It is true. It is Asian.
But you know what? I respect the work ethic of Chinese people. The fact that they'll be open no matter what. Even on a holiday.
It's true, because I remember one year when I was in college, it was snowing really bad. And there was no way. It was during break, so the dining center was closed. And there was no way for us to leave campus because of all the snow. And the one place that was still delivering was a Chinese takeout place.
Nice.
So we ate that all week.
Ryan, want to talk about your family?
My family's pretty dang white, I think, compared to most Asian families. I don't know. We've been here forever. We're like fourth or fifth generation on one side. I got all my uncles and aunts went to college. I don't know. It's just a very interesting dynamic. They're very loud.
That's Asian.
Yeah, they're kind of, I mean, they're Asian, but they're also very, like...
Or Chinese, at least.
Yeah. But I don't know. I tend to consider them... I consider myself lucky to be in the family, because we just have a lot of successful, fun people in the family.
So are holidays a big deal in your household, Brian?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, when we came to Seattle to visit the rest of my family, it was always like 30-plus people in every gathering. Lots of laughing. We have like a foosball tournament that we do every Christmas, I think. I don't know. It's just a really fun place to be.
June?
Yeah. I guess my family's kind of like in between Garrett's and in between Ryan's, because my family, no one's really fourth or fifth generation, but my parents' generation, I think, were the first to move here. And I mean, my parents in particular went to college here in the States. All my dad's brothers and sisters also have an education in the States. So I think we're all pretty Americanized and fairly progressive. I mean, we do have our traditions, but I think compared to the average Asian family, we're pretty progressive and fairly tight-knit. None of my relatives have more than two kids. So we're all pretty close, and especially Thanksgiving would be the holiday where we all get together. But now we're all kind of scattered. Haven't seen a lot of my cousins for a few years, but I'd say, yeah, pretty small family considering. I mean, I know a lot of Asian people, a lot of Asian families have like 5-6 brothers, or especially like older generations that have like 5-6 brothers or sisters, and our family's pretty small. I kind of like it that way.
Do they all live on the East Coast, June? So you don't see them that often?
Yeah, most of them. No, actually, not anymore, because my cousins that did live in the East Coast now live in Colorado. I have cousins in Korea. And we're all pretty much scattered around now.
Colorado is awesome.
Colorado.
Yeah.
Do they live in Denver?
Yes, they do.
Really? Who are they?
Who are they?
Yeah.
You might know them.
You might have dated them.
Or you might have dated them.
No, I've never dated anyone with the last name Park.
Yeah, I doubt it, because
maybe they're outside.
My girl cousin, she lives, she's on her own in New York. My guy cousin still lives in Denver, but he's looking to move out to California maybe next summer. But if you're curious, their names are Jay and Christine. Park, obviously.
Yeah.
I don't even know what street they live on, but they do.
How old are they?
Jay's my age. He's 26. And Christine, I don't want to offend her because I'm not sure, but I think she's 7 years older, 6 or 7 years older than me.
Okay, so that would make her my age, because Jay would probably be too young for me to...
Yes.
No. Well, no, just Denver doesn't have a large Korean community at all.
Really? I didn't know that. Yeah.
Interesting.
So, no, like, you know what? I just Googled your... I just Facebook searched him. I do know him.
You know my cousin, Jay?
Yeah, he goes to my church, my old church.
Oh, that's so weird. Small world.
That probably means I know your other cousin, too.
He has a really big head. Is his big... His head kind of big and square.
Yes, he's got Korean melon.
That's my uncle's head. He has his father's head, big and square.
Massive dome.
Yeah.
We have like 4 mutual Facebook friends.
That's crazy.
Yeah, bizarre.
Yeah, his dad's my dad's older brother. He's the oldest of the sons.
Okay.
Yeah, and then they all have one older sister, and she's the one with like the super successful family. Like, she married an anesthesiologist, and both their son and daughter. Daughter is a doctor, son's a lawyer, you know.
Gross.
Yeah.
Amazing.
We didn't get those genes.
My family gatherings are pretty non-existent. I mean, extended family anyways. For the longest time, my parents were the only one, like, on my dad's side, we're still the only ones that are in the U.S. And on my mom's side, we were the second ones to immigrate to the U.S. But we lived on the complete opposite end of the country for a long time than my aunt and uncle. They lived in Kansas. And it wasn't until we moved to Colorado when I was 14 that we actually had, like, a family Thanksgiving, which didn't end well. No, I mean...
What do you mean didn't end well? Like, family didn't get along?
I didn't get along with my cousin Charlie at the time. I mean, I think it's just...
Hello, Charlie!
Yeah.
Charlie, you bit me!
No. I mean, basically what it comes down to is when I was a kid, Charlie was definitely my hero. When I was younger. Because Charlie's 3 years older than me. But as I got older, I realized he was kind of a dick when he was a teenager. And me being the very open-minded, laid-back Korean kid I was when I was a teenager, as you can imagine from my current demeanor, I was very understanding and accepting of his dickishness. In that I punched him in the face, I think, 1 year. But I think, you know, that could be also...
That's what family's
for. Well, I think it's only kids stuff, too. I mean, Garrett and Ryan, you both grew up with siblings?
I did. Yes.
Older brother.
Okay, June and I are
younger
kids. So...
Really?
Did you like growing up as an only child?
Me?
Yeah,
the other only kid, yeah. You know, when I was young, I would have to say no, I didn't.
Mm.
Because I was lonely all the time. And I really wish I had someone else there. I mean, either to take, like, some of the flack off of me when my parents got on my case, or just...
no one else to blame.
Yeah, or just, like, I mean, all that attention is good, I mean, like, but it's also bad.
Mm.
You know? I grew up very lonely, and I wish that I definitely did have a sibling. And now that I'm older... Gosh, I wonder if it makes me, like, socially, like, retarded. Because,
huh.
I mean, on one sentence, I really like it because I'm able to spend a lot of time by myself.
Right.
And I can find my own fun. Take that as you will. But, like, you know, I can keep myself occupied and it's not going to be an issue. But I think I definitely have it. Fucking 12-year-olds.
I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
12-year-olds. But I think definitely, I think it kind of really, it hinders my ability to kind of connect with other people. I'm not, like, autistic, but, you know.
I think that's really interesting, because, I mean, I know quite a few other only children, and there's, like, a whole spectrum of only children. Like, me, I really enjoyed being an only child, just because, like, it brought me that much closer to my parents, and, like, my mom and dad are, like, my best friends. It's kind of weird. Like, I mean, obviously, they're my parents, but I don't really think of them as, like, parental units. They're more like friends.
Right.
And, I mean, yeah, there were times where I was like, man, I'm so bored. I wish I had someone to talk to. Especially, like, when I was 5 to 10, my parents were divorced, so I actually lived only with my dad. And he was always at work. And, but, yeah, for some reason, I don't know, I didn't ever really felt like I was lacking something. But I just think it's really interesting how there's only children, like... There's such a big spectrum, a wide spectrum of how we grow up.
Yeah, I think that I actually appreciate having an older brother now more than I did when I was a kid.
Mm.
Just because he's 2.5 years older, so he got married before me, he had a kid before me. So it was interesting seeing how he changed and how he adapted. And so for me, it was a lot less scary for when it was time for me to have a kid.
Right.
Or, yeah.
That's true. I mean, I think only children have something in common, because you are kind of, we do end up being somewhat inept at some aspects of our lives. Like, I didn't know how to do anything when I moved out here by myself. Like, I didn't have a credit card, I didn't know how to manage my money, and no one, like, my parents didn't teach me that, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think they should teach you in high school.
Yeah, and the things that me are, like, things that people have said to me. Because I'm an only child, somebody recently told me that I don't know what it's like to care for somebody else.
See that?
I don't think that's true.
That's ridiculous.
That's pretty harsh.
That was pretty hurtful. But I mean, I don't know. I mean, I definitely think that, I don't know, if when I have kids, God willing, I will, much like Noah, have them in pairs.
I really think it's a lot about parenting and how you're brought up, because, I mean...
Yeah, the word friends and mom and dad, no, never.
Mm-hmm.
Not the only time is when I'm talking about my friends, mom and dad, not my
interesting.
Own. I mean...
How old were your parents when they had you, June?
30.
That's pretty
old. Oh, so that's
pretty old for that time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my parents were around that age, too.
But it gets younger, because to me, like, my friends that I know who their parents are closer,
in age, like their parents were younger when they had them, they're the ones that usually say to me, like, oh, I think of my mom or my dad as my friend.
Mm.
That's interesting.
I think it's just who my parents are. I think it's because they moved here to the States when they were 22. So they've had plenty of time to just kind of, you know, not be set in their ways. And they're fairly progressive-minded, both of them, and they both act fairly young for their age. I mean, they're 50, 55, 56 now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, my dad just emailed me telling me that they're going to get iPhones, and do I want to stay on the family plan? And I was like, hell yeah, I want to stay on the family plan. So I don't know, it's just, yeah, it's just kind of how my parents are, I guess. It kind of really shaped who I am. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
What about you? How would you describe, like, your relationship with your parents? Like, friendly, authoritarian?
Who are you talking to?
Either of you guys, yeah. Either of you guys.
Ryan, you go first.
Well, I think my parents are both teachers. My dad was a high school teacher. My mom was an elementary school teacher. So, I didn't appreciate it at the time, but now I can really see how that actually helped our relationship, is because they knew how to relate to kids. And I think they also realized that there's a lot of kids out there that are more screwed up than I was when I was in high school or elementary school. Like, they're pretty happy with who I was.
So they're all like, oh, it could always be worse.
Exactly.
See, that's so odd. Both my parents are teachers, and I don't get that at all.
But your dad's a professor,
that's
though.
Different. Professors are different.
Yeah. My mom was an elementary school teacher, though.
Oh, interesting. What grade did your mom teach at elementary school?
Second and third grade. But this was back in Korea, too, so I don't know. I mean, it was back also during the time when a career was something a woman had until she got married.
Oh. But she still worked after she had you, right? Or no?
Yeah, and like a job completely unrelated to teaching.
Oh, so she stopped teaching after you were born and then started working doing something else?
Yes.
Interesting.
Engineering.
Interesting.
So did your mom say that she seemed to enjoy engineering more than teaching?
No, the only thing my mom told me later on is that she wished I was a girl.
Dang.
Wow, Mike. There's a lot going on here.
Exactly.
I think
that's why you're such a good host on these podcasts. You know, I feel like we're helping you get all these things out.
Yeah, that certainly explains those pictures of me when I was 2 wearing that pink gingham jumper.
On some level, I think all women wish their sons were girls.
I can believe that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure some part of my dad wishes I were a boy. It would surely explain all the manual labor he made me do when I was younger.
Because he had no one else to do it, though.
Like, that's true. Like, I was the only one. Like, I remember after high school, I'd come home and he'd be mowing the lawn and I would just hide. Because he would make me come out and, like, rake up all the grass.
That's just because he didn't have any sons.
Yeah.
He's like, well, I got June. Good enough.
Maybe he wanted to foster that so you could get a good husband.
No, I think it definitely helped, especially, like I mentioned, for the 5 years I did live with him. I'm definitely not as, like, girly as a lot of other girls. And I don't know if that had a lot to do with it. I mean, it must have had something to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Discipline. Who got beat?
Hell yeah.
I got hit. With various household implements. Even though my mom will deny it nowadays.
No way.
I mean, I got hit with the feather duster, the wooden spoon, the back sandal. Scratcher? The roll. Oh, yeah, the back scratcher.
Yeah.
That thing's got some torque.
Clothes hanger.
My parents had bought us, like, this plastic erector set, you know, like those plastic, like, girders?
Girders? Oh, yeah, what the hell, dude?
I-beam.
Right, well, you know, they're flexible. But yeah, they would hit us with that when we got
I got a hand. I got a TV remote thrown at me one time. I think it was the closest thing at hand. We were watching TV and I probably talked back or something and had a TV remote coming at my face. Good times.
Wow. I think my mom never wanted to risk damaging any of the electronics, hence the use of other objects.
Well, you know us Koreans get pretty hot-headed.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. I did think of a couple times where my mom told me I couldn't go to school because of how I looked.
Yeah.
So
I mean, it sounds horrible now, but like in retrospect, I think for a lot of Korean, I think boys especially, like, we kind of laugh about it. I mean, like, it really was child abuse, but no, it's kind of like, it's funny.
It seriously was, because I even contemplated, like, calling somebody, because, like, I mean...
It's like a Russell Peters sketch.
Yeah. Beat your yeah.
Go ahead. Go ahead, buddy. Make the phone call.
Dude, I wouldn't have made it past 9 on that phone before, like... Yeah.
There, yeah. I mean, growing up, I was... like deathly afraid of my dad. Like now we're really good. Like now we're very close. But growing up, I was so scared of him because the punishments that he would give me, like, oh my God. I would like one time I was in high school and I was a little bit older, so I should have known better, but I literally got into a screaming match with him and then I just ran into my room and locked the door because I was so scared he was gonna come and kill me.
Drama. I as a kid hated to be left alone with my father for any amount of time longer than 15 minutes.
Mm. Yeah, Korean dads are scary.
I don't know. I've actually never seen my dad angry.
Oh my God.
I've only seen him. It's the weirdest thing. And I didn't like to be left alone with him for a while, too, because not because he'd get angry, but because he never said anything. So it was always this awkward silence.
Oh, man. I would have given anything for just awkward silence.
I would have taken awkward silence over... fist on head action.
Yeah, Korean parents go
what
for the
with,
face
and the
head.
What is with the fist and, like, closed fist to the head? Like, now that I think about it, I mean, yeah, I can laugh at it. It's like, man, I mean, maybe that's why I'm not as fucked up as I could have been. Because my parents kept me in line, but geez, like, back then, I really was like, this is not right.
Honestly, a memorable beating of mine was, God, this is going to sound so horrible. My father was a good father. I just want to preface it with that. And I don't hold anything against him. God, it was after a parent-teacher conference. And I must have fucked up. Because my dad, I was sleeping and my dad like ambushed me and and beat me awake.
That's crazy.
I'm laughing because in my school district, we have what's called student-led conferences. So the student comes to the parent-teacher conference and they... kind of like show all the work and go over like, oh, these are things that I'm working on. So I'm just imagining like if you had a student-led conference back in the day and you had just shown something, yeah, I bombed this test, Dad, and your just dad just started beat you in the middle of the conference.
He probably would. You know what? Like, if I hold a grudge against anybody, it's against all my fucking culturally incompetent teachers that didn't understand that everything they said resulted in bruises on me. Bastards.
I think we can laugh about it because to me it's like, you know, how Asian cultures discipline their children. And of course, like, you know, our white Western culture always likes to pass judgment on how other cultures raise and discipline kids. But I mean, honestly, it's just like that Russell Peters sketch, you know, there are a lot of freaking bratty white kids running around because their parents are like, okay, you're bad. Go to your room. You're grounded.
I'm a firm believer in corporal punishment. Because it's true. Whenever I'm at the supermarket or, you know, I'm at a public, somewhere public, it's always a white kid who's whining and crying and the mom is just going about her business like nothing's going on. Like
I don't know about that. I've been to a lot of Chinese restaurants where the kids are just running around like they own the place.
Oh.
Yeah. That's the new generation.
Yeah.
So what about you, Ryan?
Not back in the day.
Have you had to unleash your fury on your daughter yet?
No. I used to like to shake her and she goes back to sleep. So she's okay.
That's good.
Wow.
I think you gotta give it some time. Two is still pretty young.
Yeah.
She's still cute.
Still innocent.
No, I mean, and plus I can't really hit her because I don't think she really understands what's going on. So.
Right, yeah. I don't think...
Does her jerk baby stuff, though, right?
What's that?
Ryan has this joke. He said it before. He calls his baby the jerk baby sometimes.
Well, it's because she does things that, you know, if she was any older, it would be kind of rude, but I don't think she knows any better. So she just kind of calls you out on things, or she'll ignore you, or I don't know what else. Yeah.
You get called out by a 2-year-old?
Yeah, well, like, okay, so I mean, we're sitting at we're driving around, and she says, I stopped the car because we're at a red light, and she goes, it's green. I'm like, no. If she goes, green light, go. I'm like, no, it's red still. But we're in a turn lane, so the lane next to us was green. And she goes, no. She goes, green light, go. I'm like, no, our light is red. And as I was saying that to her, the light is green, and I'm facing her. And she says again, green light, go. And I look around, the light's green.
Backseat driver.
I wasn't going to say that. I'm like, this is kind of empirical evidence that bad Asian woman driving is genetic and not.
Oh my God. I resent that comment.
You represent that comment?
I resent that comment.
Oh, sorry.
Sexism.
It's not sexism.
It really pains me every time I see, like, if someone cuts me off or if someone, you know, not looking when they blink, like, not looking when they change lanes, and then I always pass them by to see who it is. It's always an Asian woman. Or, like, her gas cap is dangling out of her car. Something
or
like that.
Or the gas hose is still coming out of it, or she drove off without taking it out of the.
I know someone who's done that. Asian woman. It's,
yeah, so have I. I know it's an Asian woman.
Man, it just gives us a bad name.
I've done it once, but I wasn't sober. I gassed up my car and I started driving away with the hose to the dash.
Dude, I hope that the statute of limitations, dude.
Let's just say, like, I heard this pop. I looked back and the hose had been yanked out from the pump. Oh, and then I started the car up and I just drove away really fast.
Oh my God.
And then for the next few days, I was, like, terrified the police would come by my house and be like, hey, Mr. Chan, there's an incident at a gas station here. And never happened, so thank the Lord.
You got lucky.
But I, as much as it pains me and as much as I love my mother, I have to acknowledge that she's one of those crazy drivers.
I'm glad the actual attorney here that has passed the bar is not advising Mr. Chan to shut the hell up about this.
No, it doesn't bother me.
He's not a criminal defense lawyer, so I guess I'm safe now. Or prosecutor, yeah. Anyways, so more family. So it sounds like everybody has, like, a similar, like, when they were kids, they kind of maybe dislike their situation, but now that they're older, they're maybe more cool at things.
I think it's just growing up, part of growing up. I mean, you know, you like certain foods you didn't like when you were younger. You like certain movies you didn't like when you were younger. It's just kind of like you're older and wiser. And you look back and some part, like even the crappy parts of your childhood shaped who you are. So, you know, you just kind of all take it in stride.
Yeah. I mean, thinking now, like, if my kid messed with my stereo, I'd beat him too.
Ah, so that gets to my next question. So how do you think your guys' family experiences will shape how you guys have families or raise kids when you're older? I guess Curry's already at that point. Ryan's already at that point.
I think for me, just because my extended family is really close, we all get along really well. My uncles are attorneys, and they always watch out for me when we go to, like, bar events. I think I want to make sure that I keep and stay close with my brother and his family, and even my cousins. So I think I've definitely made an effort to stay close with them and meet with them outside of Thanksgiving and Christmas and those type of things. Like, we go to the aquariums together sometime, just so we have time outside where we can catch up as cousins or as brothers. Yeah, I don't know.
Important.
Yeah.
Mike, June.
I don't know if I'm adequately prepared enough to have any sort of, like, real adult relationship or family.
I think you still have time.
Ugh.
You can make kids until you're 70.
Yeah. Anthony Quinn, my hero. No, I mean,
you're gonna beat him when you're 70 too.
I'm gonna need some assistance, like a cane or something. No, I mean, I think, you know, the thing that I'm most concerned about is when I was younger, I was very, very resentful towards my dad. And you know what? And the thing is, it's like, I know it's a cycle because from what I have gleaned, that my grandfather wasn't exactly, you know, Ward Cleaver either. So I'm terrified to have a son, to be perfectly honest.
And I think that's valid, because it feels like the way you learn, I mean, that's the only way you learn as a parent is from your parents. And so when it comes down to it, when you aren't thinking, that's what you're going to revert to.
Right.
Mm. So. I agree.
I'm hoping that my wife is going to do most of the disciplining.
Right.
No, I mean, I'm serious.
She'll just call you in to administer the beating. Honey, come here.
We'll yeah, you know, like, and that... I actually do think kids need to be, like, be hit, like, you know, smacked or whatever. But I don't want to be the one to do it. Because just, I think my dad was very well-meaning at many points. But I think something in him, it went too far to sometimes. And I think even my dad will admit to that. And, you know, I am more and more like my father than I care to admit.
Uh-huh.
And so, but, you know, I acknowledge it. So I do worry about crossing that line. So I think that's a big part of why I am definitely a Peter Pan kind of person. Is to avoid that.
Interesting. I think that's a common thing. I think for me, even though I grew up in a pretty normal family, well, at least until my dad passed away when I was 10, like, I still, like, think, like, oh, someday when I have kids, like, am I going to be a good father? Am I going to know what to do?
How old was your dad when he passed away?
He wasn't even 50 yet. He was, I think, 44 or 45. Okay. That kind of goes also to my fears about my mortality. I turned 31 this year, so then part of my brain also thinks, like, oh, I'm only about a decade away from when my dad expired. Wonder what my ticker is gonna do. But yeah, I think since I teach now, kind of like how Ryan was mentioning, like, it kind of gives you, like, you know, some experience in how to relate to kids. But, like, you know, I'm an elementary school teacher, and I love, like, you know, elementary school age kids. But I can just imagine someday if I have kids and they become adolescents, like how I was an adolescent, I'm like, I'm already afraid what I'm gonna be doing to, like, my teenage son or daughter, beating them for who knows what ridiculous mischief they'll be getting into if they're like their father.
Actually, I remember when I first met Garrett, he was in high school, and I was in college. And I actually thought Garrett was kind of, I don't know, he always had a scowl on his face.
I did have a scowl on my face. I was an angry young man.
Yeah. Actually, I think part of it turned out was because he didn't have glasses yet, and he wouldn't wear them.
Oh, so he was just squinting.
A lot of it, he was just walking around squinting at people.
Nice.
June?
I guess I never really thought about it because I feel like it's still a ways away from me.
Baby factory.
yeah. I'm just not going to activate it for a while. But
baby Jeffs.
No. But
dressed up like Ken.
I really wasn't a bad kid growing up. Like, I never really got in trouble for much. I mean, I maybe cut class like one time. And it was for senior skip day. And I don't know. I generally just grew up like not... I grew up like not really liking to keep stuff from my parents. Like, even in college when I got my first tattoo, like, I called my mom to tell her.
The hell?
Yeah. I don't know. I just kind of... My parents, I guess they instilled that in me where I just didn't like to keep stuff from them and I didn't like letting them down. So I never really got into much trouble. So if I do, I mean, if and when I do have a kid and I don't know how they're going to turn out, I mean, ideally I'd like them to turn out just like me. But, I mean, God knows what kind of trouble they're going to get into. And I feel like I'm kind of ill-prepared because I never saw how my parents would react to those situations. So I guess it'd be pretty interesting.
I would just give you advice for your kids as to say, make sure to give them a prepaid cell phone.
Okay.
So they can't rack up minutes.
Oh, yes. Korea. That's
how about not even buying them a cell phone?
Yeah, dude, that is the one thing that, like, I can't stand. Like, when I go out to, like, when I go hang out in LA and especially, like, Beverly Hills area, there's, like, 7-year-olds with, like, iPods and iPhones, and it's kind of ridiculous. Like, I understand that you need to not completely make your kid an outcast because, you know, all their friends are going to have all the shit and they're not, you don't want them to be, like, the retard with nothing. And I understand for like, and I understand for like safety reasons, you should have a way to like contact them, but they're going to have like the lowest end, like prepaid cell phone ever. Cause
no camera,
great brick,
no texting.
No
way. Oh my God. If I have a daughter, the last thing I'm going to give her access to is video equipment.
Oh. What? You worried she's going to make tapes?
I'm worried that, like, some little punk ass is gonna be like, you know, show me your tits on webcam or something, and then I gotta go kill a little fucker.
Polish your gun. That's why I think it's funny the new iPod has video on it, right? Because I know so many kids have iPods. I'm like, when I first heard they were adding video iPod, I'm like, Apple, what are you doing? You are just...
Bad idea.
Exactly. This horrible idea. And I won't even tell... I guess I could say, but I can probably count more. I can't even count, is what I mean, the number of times I've had to confiscate cell phones and iPods, other electronics. And I teach freaking third grade. I was trying to remember, like, when I was in third grade, the only electronic I was interested in was my NES. Plugged into, or Atari. I don't think my NES had come out. Well, maybe it came out third grade.
I didn't even have that when I was in high school. Cell phone? I didn't know what that was. I was like, what?
I
like discovered MP3 when I was like 18. That's amazing.
Actually, this month will be the first time I actually pay a full cell phone bill.
Wow.
Because I worked for the company I worked for AT&T Wireless and I got out of college.
Oh.
And so like for 5 years I had $4 a month cell phone coverage.
Sweet.
Yeah. Wow.
So.
Good in life.
Do you know somebody that could use cheap phone coverage?
No, I don't.
Not anymore.
Yeah, we live in the same damn house. So,
for those people who have no idea what we're talking about, you need to refer to a previous Two Sticks podcast.
So one thing I learned when I became a dad is that they actually have 7 genes for toddlers. Like
what the fuck?
Oh my God!
3T and up, you can find 7 genes. You can find True Religion genes.
How much did it cost?
$80.
Holy shit.
Oh, $80 in Nordstrom Rack, so I don't know how much they are normal.
Mm. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yep.
Do kids not wear Granimals and Oshkosh Bagosh anymore?
Not the cool kids.
Fuck.
Does Isabel have any Sea Kai Run shoes, Ryan?
I don't think so. That was a little too trendy for us.
So I don't know. I guess June, Mike, you probably haven't heard of this, so this is something I just know because a bunch of my friends have kids. But there's this local entrepreneur. She basically started like making designer shoes for kids, and she named it after her kid Kai. So she calls them C Kai Run. But I guess they got really famous because a bunch of celebrities, like, you know, Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie, started, you know, buying these shoes for kids. So now everybody's been buying them, and now she's making ridiculous amounts of money. But, you know, she's got a family, so I can't hate on that. And she's a white lady married to an Asian guy. So I definitely can't hate too hard on that. It's crazy, man. Who pays, like, $50 or $60 for shoes for, like, their little toddler that they'll outgrow in, like, you know, a month to 2 months?
Exactly. Besides, you
know, exactly, right?
Speaking of which, talking about family, and now that we're talking about the next generation... How are y'all going to react if your kids do not marry somebody of a similar ethnicity?
I don't know how I'm going to respond. I've actually started buying her toys that have, like, Asian males represented just because I want her to have...
Quick Kick?
Quick Kick. Actually, I got her a Sulu doll from the action figure.
Nice. John Cho.
I went around on eBay and I tried to find as many of those Mulan characters as I could.
Oh my God.
Hey, the brainwashing starts early for little kids.
She's gonna grow up thinking that Asian dudes wear shurikens on sashes and walk around barefoot everywhere.
With a kung fu grip.
Yep.
It's yeah. Okay for beating up boys.
I don't know, Garrett.
You know, I'd like to say I'm pretty open-minded about whoever my kid brings home, as long as, you know, they pass the test. But I mean, realistically, I have to admit that if I have a daughter, I'm going to be way harder on whoever she brings home. Doesn't matter if they're Asian or black or white. I'd probably be polishing my gun just like every other dad. But I guess that's, you know, kind of goes to sexism, because, you know, I can imagine if I have a son, I probably won't be that strict, except to say...
Double standard.
Don't make babies. Don't get any girl pregnant or you're disowned.
What if you catch him in the shower with a black girl?
Then I'll say, Key, I love you. But stop doing it with the black girl in the shower when I'm trying to sleep.
Oh my god.
Awkward.
Yeah, I'm with Garrett. Like, I, you know, in this day and age, I would like to say that I'm fairly open-minded and I don't really care who my son or daughter loves, but there's always going to be, like, that comfortableness that you have with other Asians, especially, like, if you're Korean with another Korean, where something gets lost in translation. Like, even if you're all speaking English, there's just certain things that you can't really relate to.
Brown dye.
Yeah. But, I think I would be cool with certain outside ethnicities.
So, if you have kids someday, June, and you have a daughter, and she brought home the next generation Korean Daniel Henney, would you be happy for your daughter?
Or would it be cougar time?
Maybe. Depends on how well-kempt I am at that time.
Wow.
Jeff, no, watch out.
That'd be really wrong. But I might like make sure that they don't get together then.
So you can have them for yourself?
No. If I can't have them, nobody can.
So you won't have to drool over him every Christmas and Thanksgiving?
No.
This is like the plot for a very bad MILF porn.
Or a Korean drama.
Somebody needs to have amnesia and then cancer.
And realize they're dating their brother or sister.
I guess as long as... I just don't want them to remember... Like, my nightmare is they grow up to be Republicans.
Republicans?
Yeah.
That's the worst fantasy you can come up with?
That's the one that I would generally have, like, an honest, serious, like, disconnect with my kid if they were Republicans.
Hmm. Is your dad a Republican?
No, my dad is way more liberal than I am.
Oh, interesting.
I am very middle of the road compared to my father. Which means that it's gonna... Yeah, see, I mean, like, my father's, like flaming liberal, and how do I repay the man? I'm more centrist than he is, and I adopted a monotheistic religion. Father was actually very disappointed in me about that.
About being Christian?
Yeah, monotheism was not exactly what he intended for his child.
Is he an atheist?
Yeah, I think he's an atheist.
That seems kind of unusual for someone who's like a first generation Korean. Is your dad? Because your dad's first generation, right?
Yeah.
It's most like first generation Koreans I know are either Christian or Buddhist, not atheist.
He just makes fun of all religions. Well, no, I actually have never heard him make fun of Islam. He just made fun of Christianity and Buddhism.
You don't want to get killed.
Yes. We have this little thing in the family where we try to avoid fatwas.
Getting shot.
And once again, inviting another fatwa to be called upon us. No, I mean, I think if my kid was a Republican, I would be very, like... I don't necessarily know if I want to raise my kids with a religion. I want them to come to it, like, when they're older, like I did.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of what for me would be the most horrible thing. I think if my kid was some, like, a snot-nosed, like, hippie, or, like, some corporate elitist, either of those would be equally repugnant to me. that would just make me so disappointed.
Ryan, most horrible thing your daughter could end up being?
Yeah.
Stripper? I don't know. On the pole, working the pole. Actually, I don't know. I mean, I'd be okay with her different political choices. I think I might have a problem if she were a lesbian. I think, but not so much that I'd be disappointed in her. I'd just be sad that I wouldn't get grandkids from her.
So no softball for the daughter.
Well, she could play softball as long as she wasn't one of the catchers, because those I think are the worthless ones.
So basically, Ryan doesn't want to put lesbian daughter, but if she's long as she's a lipstick lesbian, he can live with it.
Oh,
no, I just want grandkids. I don't. Yeah.
I can't even think that far ahead to grandkids.
Yeah, dude.
But I don't have, like, a kid, so, I mean, that's...
Well, I mean, he has a kid, so he's already envisioning the next step.
That's
the future.
That's
interesting. At this point, I just want to grow up and actually see adulthood. That's my biggest fear as a parent, is that she dies before she becomes an adult.
Wow. Let's...
Sorry, that's heavy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just trying to feed and clothe myself, so I can't really think about feeding and clothing another individual.
Yeah. It does blow my mind, though, especially when I'm at these parent-teacher conferences, and a lot of the parents that I meet with are way younger than I am.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit scary. Because you start doing the math in your head, it's like, you know, most of my third graders are like 8 years old. And you're like, so wait a minute, you had this kid when you're, oh my God.
Yeah.
Can you drive yet?
Yeah. Anyways.
No, that's crazy. Yeah, I can't imagine myself with kids. I can't imagine the pressure. I mean, one of my really close friends had a daughter about 9 months ago, and I mean, that kind of broke up the brodeo. It's what happens.
That's
bad
imagery there.
What?
I had some really bad imagery just flashing my head.
Oh, not that kind of brodeo, dude. It's not like a gay Fantasia brodeo. It's just like a, you know, like, yeah. I mean, like, it did break up the brodeo, but I mean, like, honestly, like, I'm just amazed to watch not only his little girl grow up, but, like, just, like, to see him as a father completely, like, it's stunning, and, like, how his wife turned into such a mom. I was just like, weren't you the one, like, buying bottles of Grey Goose, like, not 3 years ago and forcing me to chug, but now, like, I gotta sanitize myself before I become within 50 yards of your kid?
That's good, though. At least she's taking it seriously.
I know,
I'm sure you can pick up people that it hasn't gone well.
Yeah.
I can think of that, too.
So, I guess in conclusion, June needs to start having kids.
Little kids.
Definitely not.
Are we supposed to be talking about family gatherings today?
I think it's just family in general.
Just family.
Okay.
Family and family gatherings.
That's nice.
Okay, favorite holiday to have a family gathering?
Christmas.
We never had family gatherings on Christmas because we all just kind of stayed with our own individual families, but Thanksgiving, our extended family would always get together, and that was always my favorite, because that's when I get to see my cousins, and there's always, like, a ridiculous amount of food, and then,
I gotta say Christmas for my family. Like I said, we had the foosball tournaments. We have, my aunt would bring her boyfriend, whoever she was dating at the time, we get to meet him, and I don't know, it's kind of fun times. And it usually, like, one family gathering on Christmas Eve, and then I do my dad's family Christmas morning, and then my mom's family Christmas evening, and so it'd be like a day and a half celebration.
Uh-huh. Nice. Ugly cousins.
For mine, it's weddings now. I mean, honestly, like, most of my family lives on the West Coast. I'm the furthest east, which is sad. Like, our family, like, didn't understand the concept of manifest destiny.
And moved east instead of west?
Well, no, it's like, you know, like, we were supposed to, yeah, we all started off on the west and progressively moved east, but, like, no, I'm, like, I'm the total black sheep. Like, our entire family has moved west and is continuing to move west. Not me. I said, oh, I'm going to go east, but not all the way because I'm a failure. So I'll only go halfway and get
stuck. So you're the one that doesn't understand manifest destiny.
Pretty much, yeah. Because I'm not going west, yeah. But now it's weddings because, you know, like we've got a big family pack that we're always going to show up at these weddings, you know, for the various cousins when they get married, and it works out really well. I mean, I've connected definitely with my cousins that I never did before, and I have, you know, great relationships with them. Even, like, my cousin Charlie, who I didn't get along with, now we get along just fine just because, you know, we're older and we're more mature, and, you know, I do regret, like, that we didn't have, like, a closer relationship growing up, but, like, you know, I see him as stunted as I was, you know, being an only child growing up. It doesn't bother me anymore, you know? And my younger cousins, I definitely take a more active role in their lives. I mean, you know, it's pretty cool. I mean, the closest thing I had to a sibling for a long time was Grace. Yeah. Not wow. That that's a bad thing, but I mean, that really is. I mean, so I like it a lot now that I'm older, so I'm looking forward to more things. But we shall see. We shall see. Favorite family memories?
The one that pops in my head, I don't know if it's my favorite, but it's definitely the most memorable, is when my aunt was seeing a musician one year. And actually, I think they were engaged, and she brought him to Christmas. And we all got, like, CDs for Christmas, and he sat on the piano and played guitar. It was an interesting Christmas. It was fun.
Wow, put on a performance.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know, George Winston? I don't know if you guys have heard of him.
Your aunt dated George Winston?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, that was our most interesting Christmas.
Okay, apparently I'm the only one that knows and is impressed.
Sorry.
I think
George
Winston, like
the piano player, right?
Yeah, so, like, John Tesh, Yanni, John Rowe, I think.
You should have just said, maybe you should have said Eddie Vedder or Prince.
Prince. I'm not sure I'd want Prince in my family.
No, I'd feel dirty Eddie Vedder in my family.
What?
Do you want to hear that every Christmas? Hell no.
Can't be that bad.
You'd have to, like, wash the smallest strippers off you every time you hug him.
Dude, he's Jehovah's Witness. He doesn't smell like strippers anymore.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know he changed.
He smells like Jesus. And the... And the
lack of birthday cakes.
And, yeah. And the young men's section at whatever department store he shops at. Not because he's a pedophile, but because he's tiny. Let me get that straight. Prince doesn't like little boys. He just has to wear little boys' clothes.
He's a vegan. I just found that out.
Garrett, favorite family memory?
Favorite family memory? I have a lot. But, I guess if I'm trying to think of ones related to the holidays, I think I have a lot of memories of, like, my family going down for Christmas in California, just spending time with all of our relatives. But on my mom's side, we have a huge number of cousins, and we would just get together and play, like, these, like, massive, like, board games or have, like, card games and stuff, tournaments, just because there's so many cousins. And I just remember, actually, one time, I don't know what it was, but then our uncle had just, like, you know, set up some computers, like 386s, and we were playing, like, some pirated tank game that he got.
And basically, I remember just laughing so hard that I almost literally peed my pants. Like, as a little kid, we were playing, like, this little tank game on the computer, and then, like, I just remember laughing so hard because we thought it was so funny that you could run over each other with the tank. And I just remember almost peeing my pants because it was so funny. Like, running to the bathroom. Anyways.
Key, okay. Favorite family memory?
Where did he come from?
What up, Key?
Hey guys, I wasn't even expecting anything. I just turned on Skype and answered, and so they're there.
Just in time for the end.
Huh?
Just in time for the end.
I think you guys could skip over me until I get my mic and stuff set up.
Okay.
Okay, June, favorite family memory?
I can't really think of a lot. Maybe it's because I left my parents when I was 18. I don't know. We're a pretty chill family. We don't really do big things, but I guess it's just like every Christmas, we don't do anything. We literally stay home and just watch Christmas movies on TV. Like, we don't go anywhere. We don't do anything. We just stay home, take naps all day, and just eat. And, like, it's not really a big kind of event, but I don't know, those Christmases are always like the best, because it's just you wake up kind of late and you come down, you watch whatever movie, like Christmas Story probably was on 24 hours
shooting your eye out.
I don't know, I just miss those lazy days at home with my parents, because like I don't really have that anymore. So
I have one. Mm-hmm. Actually, my family, Christmas morning, we actually would sing carols for a while. Now, we kind of stopped doing that because we moved to someone's house that doesn't have a piano. But for the years that we did it, that was really fun.
Nice.
I guess I'll go. My favorite Christmas memory or family memory is anytime I come home or go to the airport and see my parents for the first time. Man, I love those bastards.
The love hate.
Well, no, I mean, it's more love. It's just that, like, I think, like, I was so kind of like resigned to the fact that, like, maybe my family's a little dysfunctional, so we'd never be like the Korean Norman Rockwell experience. But
even Norman Rockwell experience.
Yeah, but I mean, like, honestly, like, the first 30 minutes is always the best. I mean, no matter where we are, when we see each other, like, you know, my mom gives me this big hug, and, you know, my old man protests, and I give him a hug anyway because I'm much bigger and stronger than him, you know, and what's he going to do? Like, I give him a big, huge bear hug. I pick him up. I spin him around. He hates that shit.
Oh, my God.
Chokeholds.
I wonder why.
But, you know, like,
I don't think any grown man likes to be picked up and twirled around. Wee!
And it's...
So you Zangief your father.
Pretty much.
You Zangief your father.
You spinning pile driver your dad.
Yeah.
Hey, Dad!
And I'm just so happy to see them, and we actually, I think... we are really, really a family up until the car ride to wherever we're going when they get on pace about some shit. But, you know, I mean, that's when it really matters. I mean, like the last wedding we went to when my parents and I were all in one hotel room, like, adjusting ties and, like, me actually telling my dad, like, hey, what kind of knot are you going with? Double Windsor, half Windsor... blah, blah, blah. You know, I mean, that it's little stuff like that. I mean, yeah, it's all the naggy shit, too, but I mean, like, that's when I really feel like I have a family, and that's what makes me want a family.
So, yeah, sometimes it's just the little things, like, I mean, I think every family has their dysfunctions, and for sure, when I go home to visit, like, I really can't take my parents for more than, like, maybe 5 days, and... You know, the 5 days is great. Like, we all love each other, and it's wonderful. But then soon we just start, like, bitching at each other and just start nagging each other, and it's like, oh god, this is why I left. So
diminishing returns.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I mean, I think that's normal.
Key favorite family memory?
Now that I know what you guys are talking about, one comes to my mind is, I guess, 1 year, I think it's when I was in high school or something. At some point, we stopped giving Christmas gifts and stuff to each other on Christmas. And I think 1 year I decided that I was going to buy everybody a gift because I was working and I had money. So on Christmas Day, no one was expecting anything, and I, you know, bust out gift for everybody, and everybody kind of sat around and opened. And I think after that year, for following few years, they felt really obligated to buy gift for people in the family. So, nice. So it was kind of a little nice moment, even though we weren't really hardcore, like, celebrating Christmas type of family, but it was kind of nice.
But you brought the spirit of giving back to your family.
Yeah, I think I really prefer to give than receive anyway, you know? So nice. I was never really big.
That's
about
what the black girl in the shower said.
Oh, man. He references it on podcasts.
That will never go away.
Nope.
There's
like
the change. There are a few things I have said, stuff that I told my friends that I wish I'd never told, because some stuff that you just regret telling them because they just bring it up at most, like, inappropriate times. And I think with this little circle of podcast people, that story was something I should have never told.
Hey, how do you think I feel having to look at every single girl I'm interested in and having to figure out if they're manly or not?
Manuscripts.
I think you can pretty much tell who they're manly or not, you know, usually by the square jaw and square jaw, broad shoulders, and Adam's apple.
Man hands.
God, yeah. Like, Kathy is never listening to this particular podcast.
But I must say, the picture you showed me, she doesn't fit any of those descriptions that I just made. So that's a good thing.
She actually has kind of strong shoulders and a defined jawline.
Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe the picture that I saw didn't show those.
Stop staring at her boobs, Key.
So a little bit of Photoshop magic or something.
Okay, now I'm just going to get in more trouble. Okay, well, I think we should wrap it up. It's been a couple hours almost. Any last thing you want to say about Asian families in general, Mr. Ko?
Not really. I like my family. That's about all I got. But family are nice. Kids are nice. I'd recommend having them if you're so inclined.
Nice.
Garrett.
I guess your family is your family. I mean, you get to pick your friends. You can't really pick your family, but you should love them anyways. At least your mother. She put up with you for 9 months.
June.
Yeah, I mean, I try not... Like I said, there's always good and bad parts to every family, and I don't really, like, being so far away from them, I don't really think about it too often, but, yeah, I think family is definitely a huge part of my life, and I'm glad I have the one I have, and hopefully someday, to your guys' excitement, I will have my own in the future.
Awesome.
Can we help name it?
Oh, God. I think I should have...
Blanca.
I should have the right to veto.
Sakura.
Oh, God.
Blanca Saget Ryu Lo.
Well, I know Jeff wants to name his son Daigo.
Oh, Daigo. My nerd.
Oh, yeah. So.
It's even more nerdy if he dresses him up like the Capcom character named Daigo.
Oh, no. Yeah, hopefully, hopefully not.
I'm actually dressing my daughter up as Chun-Li for Halloween.
Oh.
Awesome.
We'll see if she'll actually wear it.
Original SF, original SF2 costume with spiky bracelets?
Yes, the one that's as unslutty as possible.
Or it's like that's right. Floor length skirt.
Yeah,
have you seen the Capcom babies print where she's the baby Chun-Li is riding on top of baby Blanca?
No,
that
I
just
haven't.
Sounds kind of bad.
What? That's so innocent. Anyway, Key, any words about family?
I love my mom to death. And I think my dad is becoming unreasonably stubborn as he gets older. And I think my two brothers are two dumbasses. Oh. But I wouldn't trade them for the world. How about you, Mike?
I give my family all the credit in the world for making me who I am today. And they're the reasons that I have all the successes that I do have in my life, and they are the reasons I have the perseverance to make it through all the failures that I have gone through. So I love them very dearly.
And you want a spinning pile driver then?
Yes.
Just my father. He's very Googleable. I mean, you can go and Google him right now if you want. You can tell me if this is a man that you want to see pile driven. So can go Google him. My Mozilla crashed. Otherwise, I would post a link.
I must say, though, I just hope that I don't become like my dad. It's his stubbornness as I get older. I mean, he's a very kind and gentle man, but jeez Christ, some of the things he does is just so irritating.
Hey, Key.
Yeah?
Are you TSO?
What a family question.
No, I'm not.
He's just the guy that likes a lady in the shower.
By the way, Ryan, you sound nothing like I have imagined.
Thanks, I guess.
That's what you said to me.
That's what you said to me. That's what everyone said to me.
But when you guys first heard Ryan's voice, did you guys expect that out of him?
I don't know. It didn't surprise me.
What you expect? Right? Hey, Key, how are you?
I know Ryan in real life, so I can't answer that.
You sound like a Gabe who's Dragon X on the board.
What?
I'm sorry, what?
I'm serious. You sound almost just like him.
Dragon X.
Don't listen to Key. Don't listen to him. The first time I did the podcast, he was like, you sound like a man.
You said gay? I thought you said gay for a second. All right.
Well, no. That's you.
No. Either way, it's fine.
Yeah. But welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Actually, no one sounds gay on the two sticks.
No. Except, if anybody did sound gay, it's probably either Mike or me. Just because some of the stupid comments that we make.
Yeah. But I sound like a top. You sound like a bottom.
I'm not surprised.
Oh, my God.
And on that note,
thank you for listening to the Two Sticks Family podcast. From the Two Sticks family to your family, have a great week. Thanks a lot.
fall home.